Hi, and welcome to the Poultry Nerds Podcast. I'm Carrie Blackman, and I'm here with my co-host for the show, Jennifer Bryant, and we're here to help you figure out how to raise the healthiest, happiest, and highest quality birds possible.
The Poultry Nerds Podcast is brought to you, in part, by the generous support of eggfoam.com, your trusted source to ship hatching eggs safely. They have several sizes available from small button quail to turkey size. Their shippers are cut to fit into United States Post Office complimentary boxes to make your shipping a breeze. Check out eggfoam.com.
I have been out in the chicken yard at night and hear a loud crashing sound where they've been messing around inside, and they slam that bale up against the metal. Heard that happen, but none of them have broke. So
why would they break? They're built for chicken.
Why would the cups break? They're built for chickens too, but they do.
Unlike, I'm not a nipple.
The nipple, I can get them to work with quail, but even with quail, if there's a cup in there, they're going for it. And I've never had quail break a cup, but I have had nipples fail or airlock the system with, if there's nothing but nipples in the tube, I've had them airlock and none of them be able to drink until I stuck my finger in. If there's a cup in the line, it won't airlock. But I don't know that a cup with a bell water would be practical for quail.
I don't know. Okay, so I'm going to admit I'm on the learning curve quick. I'm at the mercy of you experts. I'm not.
I don't think a bell water would be, unless you got just a lot. But I will say this, in my most recent brooder experience, when I had to pull Old Faithful out because the 100 chicks multiply quickly, I get my 100-gallon stock tank out, put me a couple inches of peat moss in it, and I started thinking, okay, I need to put like 30 birds in here. I don't have any little waters. I'm not drilling a hole in the side of this metal tank. I think I had some bell waters delivered today. So I go looking for a 2x, set that over the lid, hang the bell water from it, get it right above the ground because these things are barely a week old at this point. Take me a 5-gallon bucket, which I've been doing this a lot. I'll take the 5-gallon bucket, pull a cup out of it. Coincidentally, the hole is the same size for the 1/4-inch barbed fitting that needs to go in there to hook up to the 1/4-inch line that feeds the bell water. Set that on top of the table in the barn. Stick the 1/4-inch hose that comes with the bell water up. Screw it onto the water, fill it up. They love it. They went nuts. And as they grew, at one point I had to get some boxes that I used to mail hatching eggs and raise the 2x, set the boxes in there as a spacer to raise the water up higher. Worked really well. But
yes, you need to adjust that water. And that water lip or that water height thing.
And when they have to reach for it, they drink more.
I feel that way. And I think that's why the commercial industry has gone to nipples, right? Because they have to reach.
They can raise them.
Right. Yeah. But that's a whole other system. It's way more efficient for them to do that. In their mind, it's more.
I mean, if I'm raising 50,000 birds at a time in a house.
Yes, you're going to do that.
I can see that.
Because when they leave and you do clean up there and all that and sanitize, they're all connected to cables. You can raise and lower them at the same time.
Clean your floor out, do all that, lower them, pressure wash them. When you pressure wash the floor, you're ready. As soon as it dries, you're ready for the next bat.
Me personally, if somebody asked me about water, I want large volume water, right? So I want a water from a lot of water. Let me explain why I want it this way. Is most people work away, right?
Yeah.
So they do their chores morning and evening, but they're gone throughout. So if you have a supply line whether it's your bucket, whether it's pressurized, whether it's whatever it is. If you have water failure, what is your water reserve capacity? How long will those birds last based on what? Okay, let's just use your belt water, right? How much water is in that belt water? If I tipped it out, was there even a cup?
One? Probably not.
Okay.
It's probably maybe 4 or 5 ounces.
And everybody wants to put 60 to 100 birds on one cup or on one belt water, which is wrong. Should be 40 to 50 left, but you have no backup. You and I were talking earlier about redundancy.
Yeah.
Having a backup. With all the modern systems water, whether it's cup, nipple, bell water, there's no backup plan. There's no redundancy.
There's a failure, there's a problem.
You get 100 degree day in Alabama or anywhere else in the world, you don't have water.
See, that's why I like the bell waters in the breeding pens, because if they hit that and splash some water out, it's fixing to refill. If they break one of those cups and their 5-gallon bucket empties out, until I get home, which is after the heat of the day, they're not seeing. And what I do is I feed mine with the 5-gallon bucket. I have a 5-gallon bucket at the beginning of the water line, and it's got a barb that's a couple inches up from the bottom. I put a couple of 1/2-inch copper elbows in it. Guy I know told me that. Copper will help keep your water clean. And on the towards the top side of the bucket, I have a float valve that's hooked to a hose pipe that stays on. Because in Alabama, it doesn't get below freezing a whole lot, but it does get above 90 a lot. I've got that float valve always on, so they don't run out. As long as nothing breaks, I'm good. If somebody accidentally cuts the water off, there's at least 5 gallons worth. So that'll last them a couple of hours. So for that, I like it.
So one of the neatest tricks, and I learned this from a guy in New Jersey, this is not my bright idea any more than the copper in the water reservoir, is he, and this was before plastics went crazy, but he would go to Walmart or other discount store and he would get like a 24 cooler, right? Hold 5 gallons, right? Or he'd even get one slightly bigger, 36, doesn't matter. He figured out how to mount that at the right position for his pens, whether it was cold or whether it was hot. He could put tempered water in that cooler, and then most of them have a drain plug. And he adapted that drain plug to his feed line to supply his bell waters. Even if middle of the summer, hotter than you know what, he would put cold water in there. And then if that wasn't enough, he could freeze blocks of ice to put in there to continue to keep that water cool, right? Only in the wintertime, he could put hot water. You run hot water out of the tap, he put it in there. He was good for hours. Just simply by using what used to be a 1995 cheap 24-quart cooler, right? He just plumbed that thing up, figured out how to mount it in his chicken coops.
So I use, in the winter months, I use black buckets because obviously algae grows a lot slower, if at all, in a black bucket because it doesn't get any sunlight. That works great. But the black attracts the heat. So when it is 20s and 30s, I don't have any freeze ups. Comes in pretty handy.
Right.
It's not great in the summertime. But what I have found is the cheap bottles of water, the ones that rattle a lot, gets your animals' attention because it rattles. You take that straight out of the pack, put it in the freezer, they don't bust. They'll swell up. They won't bust. Put you about 4 or 5 of them in your 5-gallon bucket in the morning. You're good. They love it.
The reason I like the cooler is at the lid, right? So
that is handy.
There's no leaves blowing in there. There's no possible debris. No.
See, I've got snap lids on my bucket for that reason, because I don't want anything clogging up my water line.
But you also have a million buckets for other purposes. So not a million, but
I do get a couple thousand at a time.
You have a surplus of.
Yes, I do. While we're talking about water, let's talk about what should the water look like? What should the pH be? What are some ways that we can check it? What are some ways that we can make them drink more? And what are some ways that we can get the water to where it needs to be?
I think everybody should make the investment for their family health, their bird's health, everything. People need to get their water tested, right? So you're testing it for bacteria, E. coli, and coliform. So you want to make sure that it's negative bacteria, negative colony forming units. But then you also want to get the, I don't want to say regular water test, but you want to get another comprehensive test that gives you pH, hardness. What are the dissolved minerals in your water? Is it calcium? Is it iron? Is it manganese? Is it whatever? You need to know these things, right? And a good nutritionist or whoever. So either you correct the water or you make adjustments for the feed to complement or go along with that water. But in a lot of cases, consider fixing the water. So if the water's close to good, I'm a big fan of apple cider vinegar. I think it does a lot for gut health. I think it does a lot for cleaning out the bloodstream circulatory system. The birds like it. I think it aids in feed digestion. So I think you get more miles out of the feed eaten. If the water's really off, if it's extremely hard, then we got to look at ways of softening that water. I've seen some really good plans out here of catching rainwater and trying to use that as much as possible because rainwater is naturally soft.
Okay.
So you put it on a water collection system, you should be able to use rainwater a fair amount of the time. And people say, well, I'm on municipal water, right? And they think their government or their township or their county or their water supply people actually are providing them good water. No.
Well, they send out where they test it every year.
They do test it every year, but
they don't tell you what to look for in the test.
No. All they have to test for in the past, this is changing because of dissolved plastics and PFOAs and all that other stuff. But in the past, all they had to do was a bacteria test. They could still serve you hard water. They could still serve you so high sulfur water. They could still serve you whatever, as long as it was under the guidance of audible drinking water, which is primarily bacteria. That's why they put a bunch of bacteria or they put a bunch of chlorine in most municipal water.
Yep.
And that's what they're serving. And chlorine is not good for you either. But
in the other thing that I have a lot of buckets for, I use sodium hypochlorite 12.5%. What I use it for is an additive for a cleaner that I make. But there's several times a year where it's on allotment. And when I find out why, it's because municipalities have priority because they use it for treating water. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're using a level of bleach that is high enough to where if it comes in contact with your bare skin, it's going to cause burns. You're mixing that with my water for me to drink. Now, I don't like that. So with that, I just checked the pH of mine at home using a pool test kit from a hot tub, and it's barely 6, which is low.
In your region, that's it. I would expect 5.5 to 6. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So for a chicken, not horrible, but still not. We're not getting everything out of the feed.
Right.
Health is not going to be 100%. So if we could adjust that water, good, pure, clean water out in nature somewhere that hasn't been disturbed by human beings, wants to be roughly between 6, 8, and 7. But 7 is where water wants to be, 7 pH.
If your water's 6 or 5, that's where the apple cider vinegar comes in.
Apple cider vinegar is still acidic. Depending on what's causing that pH to be low already, you could make that worse. See, this is where having that water test and knowing what you're drinking, what your family's drinking and what your chickens are drinking is really important. Then talk to a water professional and figure out how to get corrected.
Because I don't drink my water at my house.
And a lot of people don't.
There have been times that I have turned the faucet on and had a tan hue to my water.
Yeah.
What I have done is they make a water filter for an RV.
Mm-hmm.
Screws right in line with the hose pipe. And when you got a hose pipe running all over your chicken yard, it comes in very windy. So I come off of the spigot with a 4-foot leader, hook it into one side of the filter. Then I hook a couple of splitters up on the other side to send the water everywhere it needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I do filter it. Now I know that's not getting it like a bottle water.
It's better.
But it is a lot better than what they have.
Thank you for joining us this week. Before you go, be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can receive new episodes right when they are released. And they're released every week. Feel free to email us at poultrynerds@gmail.com to share your thoughts about the show. Until next time, poultry pals, keep clucking, keep learning, and keep it exciting. This is Carrie signing off from Poultry Nerds. Feathers up, everyone.